nice surprise that I'm here. Okay. Would you open your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 13? I'm going to read one verse from Revelation chapter 13. The book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth, that means earth dwellers. We find that earlier in the book of Revelation. All those who dwell upon the earth have no desire for heaven. They love this earth, and that's all they think that there is. Next phrase. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And this is not worshiping the Lord. This is worshiping the great blasphemer of heaven. This is worshiping Satan. And here's the phrase we begin now. Whose names are not written in the book of life, that's one, of the Lamb slain, that's two, from the foundation of the world. So we're going to consider this morning the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness to us all. You have kept us safe. You have provided for us. You have done great and marvelous things for us through the past year. We are coming to the end of a year. And sometimes, Lord, we look quickly. We just dismiss all that grace and beauty and wonderful thing that you have done for us. And we want to jump into something new. But your desire is that your children draw closer to you, that we always surrender our will to your will and be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, my will is to do the will of my Father who sent me. Father, this morning we ask for your help to explain your word. And also we ask for help to receive the engrafted word in our hearts so that we may be strong in the Lord, able to resist the wiles of the devil and be faithful to you to bring glory and honor to your name. So we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to be with us this morning to lead, direct, and guide. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In the Bible, we find this term, the book of life. And it is always tied to the soul of man. And it's throughout the Bible you'll find it. But because of our preferences, we have a tendency to misrepresent what is written in the Word of God. So this morning I'm going to try my very best to use this scripture, to compare scripture to scripture, so that we can understand what this book is about, the book of life. It is very important that we understand this because Jesus himself make it one of the important things in his teaching to his disciples. There are things in the Bible, for example, spiritually, do we know when the soul of man was created? We forget what the scripture says about God. Sometimes we have a tendency to go by our knowledge and we put things together rather than, as Isaiah reminds us, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God gave information throughout his word that we can understand. So Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3, you'll find this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth And all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he has done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he has done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his works, which God has created and made. You know, you notice how many times God, the word rested, is used in there. The word there in the Hebrew is the word stop. No more, it's done. The issue that we have with this passage is this. You and I live in time. God does not live in time. And so when God speaks, he uses time so that we can understand. But we don't limit God to time. For example, God has lived all our future. God not only at the beginning of time, but God is also now at the end of time. But you think that will blow your mind? Listen to this now. God is at the beginning and the end of time at the same time every time. It's beyond our comprehension. So that's why the Bible says, by what? Faith means that we have to trust the word of God, that it is true, believe it, and then things can be revealed to us. So, please, don't let us pull God down to our level. We should recognize that we are limited in our understanding of things. And therefore, we must trust the scripture. We must believe the scripture and compare scripture to scripture to find out when God says something, what he means by what he's saying. He's not telling us things and we twist it so we can get our meaning from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible said something, it is exactly as the Bible stated to be. Not what you want it to be, not what I believe it is, but what God says it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For, listen now, as in Adam, all die. I went through and I looked at the Greek, and there's no way I can change it. We were in Adam when Adam died. Even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive. What is interesting is this. Before is what we find in Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4, we find this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And the word there, knew you, means I have a relationship with you. Jeremiah, what you're saying, you don't understand that I, the Creator, God, have been, does not limit every time. I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctify you. I ordain you as a prophet to the nation. Verse 6. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for my youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I sent you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my word in your mouth. So, see, I have this day set you over the nation and over the kingdoms, to root up and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. In other words, God not only put in our understanding his word, but also he tests them by asking us to, what do you understand? What do you see? And so now, where was Jeremiah before he was in the womb? According to the scripture, God says, before you were formed, I knew you. So how can he be a prophet before he was born? You know what is so interesting? And we just talk about it during the Christmas time. John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's belly. And when Mary showed up at Elizabeth's house, John the Baptist says, there he is. That's why Elizabeth says, where? You are the mother of my Lord. Why? I got the information from inside. He's witnessing and he's still yet not there. And you think babies cannot hear and know things? The Lord is the creator of them all. We should realize that children are a gift from God. In John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 6, we find John the Baptist here. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to be a witness of the light. And this is very important, light. That all through him might believe. Wait a minute, he's calling somebody light before the person declare, I am light. He says, to bear witness to the light. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And listen to this phrase. John 1, verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. You know, oftentimes we use this statement like, oh, man, those people in Timbuktu don't know anything about God. Nonsense. Let's not say that anymore. Jesus Christ is the true light that lighted what? Some people? And some people are not receiving any light? It is not God's will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. God will not withhold his light. He declares that Jesus Christ is the light He is God. He's the one who brings that information to everyone who come into the world. This is long before Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And if you read Romans now, the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, we find the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Listen. "For in it," the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." A quote from Habakkuk. Verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth." So you cannot suppress something unless you have it. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And listen, verse 19. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them." Why? "For God has shown it to them." All souls receive the gospel. You and I have no question. Don't question God to say, well, some people have a little bit of gospel here and a little bit of light, so God just give them something to, what do you call it now, to deceive them that they could be saved, but guess what happened? They can't be saved. Nonsense. I've heard that so many times that people say, don't believe that. Every person who come in this world had the opportunity to go to heaven. Heaven is not a small place. God created a new heaven and a new earth that where righteousness dwell, that all who believe will live there. That God who knows everything can't say, okay, I'm sorry I can't save you because I have no place for you. That's not true. He is the one who do it. So continue from verse 20 in Romans chapter 1. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they," and here's the phrase now, the Holy Spirit is saying this, "because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, but were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And that word heart here, we're going to address it a little later, because sometimes we miss what this word heart means. This word heart is a compound word that joined two words together. It means mind and emotion. Mind and emotion. Heart put together, mind and emotion. And I'm going to explain to that, show you in the scripture where that is. "Professing to be wise, they become fools. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into images made of corruptible things, birds, four-footed feet, and so on." Name me somewhere that you can go in the world and you don't see an idol. I've been to places where I've said, wow, I don't think any person from the outside ever been to this place. You know what they have? Shrines with idols inside it. They're worshiping something. They're worshiping something. Why? Romans chapter 1 tells us why. So back to the interaction between Jeremiah and God. "Where were you before you came into this world?" Have you ever thought of that? That God created you? Because in Adam, we were. When Adam sinned, Adam took the entire human race into darkness. So not only that we are now in a realm of darkness, our thoughts, our imagination, everything is dark and evil. And that's where we were. So when you're born in this world, you're born into a sin, curse, dark world. And so you're in this darkness. The gospel is now the light shining to say, get out of darkness and come into God's light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind, same word again, the God of this age, or the God of this world, has blinded, who do not believe. If you don't believe, you are in that blindness. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves bondservants for Christ. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That phrase comes twice. It's a double phrase. What was the first thing that God created? Light. Was it the sun, the moon, the star? No. That was the fourth day. In the first day, God created light. That's the same God who created light. Listen now. Who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now God, shine lights in your heart through the gospel. And so the mind is that portion in which it comes through, the entrance of it is through the mind. And when it enters into your heart, because you believe it, it enters into your heart. And guess what it does? In the beginning, God, what? Created the heaven and earth. And the earth was in the form. God said, let there be. So what God said to you, let there be what in your heart? Light. So now you were in darkness from the old creation. Now the new creation, you have light into your heart. So you are now called a new creation. So that's where we call it. So when you start to go back to Genesis now, you understand how that works. In Genesis chapter 2, we find this, verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each, and here's the word, living creature. This word, living creature, is very important when you look at the Hebrew word. I'm going to explain it to you now. That was his name. So Adam call each living creature, and the word living creature is in the Hebrew word nephesh, and it's used over and over again in the Bible, the word nephesh. In fact, it is in the Bible 753 times, nephesh. It is used both for man and animal, the word nephesh. Nephesh is translated as soul 475 times out of the 753 times. As life in your Bible 117 times. As person 29 times. The other times you find the same word translated based upon action. It's translated as the mind, the emotion, and the will. So the soul is the mind, the emotion, and the will. Nephesh. Every time it's used in the Bible, it just depends on how God uses it to refer to what he's saying about it. The same word. So the mind is a part of the soul. This soul, man is made of body. Man was formed from the dust of the earth. The body. A body. Soul. And in Genesis 2, 7, we find something else. So when the animal was created, it was created from the earth. But when God created man from the earth, by the way, women were better. God created women from better material, from man. But God created man from the dust of the earth and he formed a body. He put the soul in the body. But something else happened to man that animal didn't get. God, what? Breathe in man the breath of life, and man become out, whatever, he soul become? Living soul. So, man was created in the image of God because man has something that the animals didn't have. What did man get? The breath of God. The image of God is basically the life of God. If you don't have the life of God, you don't have the image of God. That's why the Bible says man was created in the image of God. Man lost that image when Adam sinned. But the image returned through whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells us that we put on the image of Christ. Let me turn with me into John chapter 20. Look at in John chapter 20. This is necessary before we can look at the book of life. John chapter 20. Verse 19. This is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very night, that Sunday evening. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, a second time, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you." Verse 22, look at this. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say, stay in Jerusalem, I'm going to tell them, after this, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father? Because the Father is going to send, and I'm going to send, and you're going to receive power from above. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. So this one is the first, receive the Spirit, is the nature of God. It is the Holy Spirit in you. It's the image of God. So the power, couple days, 50 days later, when the Holy Spirit came, what was that purpose? The Holy Spirit. "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witness." When the Holy Spirit is working through you, it's witnessing of God. But you are already a new creation. You have to be a new creation in Christ Jesus before the Holy Spirit uses you as a witness. When you believe, the Holy Spirit enters into you and you become a child of God. Whether you witness for God, whether or not, you could be like the prodigal son, go about and live a careless life. You're still a child. You're still a son of God. The problem with that, God will punish you for living that type of life. However, for you to be used of God, you should do what? Be ye filled with the Spirit. That's why in Ephesians, he keeps telling us that it's a daily thing. It's a moment by moment thing. You have to ask God, God, use me. Is God like those people of old who wrote the scripture? The Holy Spirit moved them and they wrote. The same thing happened. So it's a dangerous thing when a God is speaking through his servant and you fall asleep. You might drop and die like Eutychus. In other words, we have to pay attention to the word of God, because you never know when God is speaking through his servant. So you pay attention and you be like the Bereans. Why? You search the scripture to make sure that what is coming to you is coming from God. Why? He says, why is it very necessary for me to search the scripture? Right before Jesus asks, who am I? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, my Father speak that to you. Few minutes later, Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. What did Peter say? No, Lord, you can't die. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, whom? Satan. To the same person. Not two different people. The same person. One time, God was speaking to the person. Next time, who's there speaking to him? Satan. So you and I have to check whatever we learn and hear and want to talk on behalf of God. Make sure it is in the scripture, because the word of God is complete. Do you know that there's nothing missing from the Bible? Everything is there. That's why the Bible closes, and we're going to look at it in the book. He says that you cannot. There's a punishment there. Only unbelievers can speak blasphemy out of the Bible. We must do it. That's why I read chapter 13, to say he blasphemed the God of heaven. That's it. So when God created Adam, he created Adam with the ability to rule the world, to have dominion. Adam, because of the deception of Satan, gave it to him. How we know he gave it to him? In the temptation of Jesus, the Satan said to Jesus, I'll give you everything in this world. It was delivered to me. By whom? Adam. God didn't give him. Adam gave him. What Adam did is exchange, trying to be like God, exchange the dominion that God gave him, gave it to this deceiver, and now become slave of this deceiver. And the same thing is happening today. A lot of us as believers are given the authority, the power, the riches that God give us. We're giving it to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have to be careful. Not because it's pleasing to us doesn't mean that it's right with God. We need to do that. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall surely die, and so all souls that born in this world is die. In another passage that you should read is Genesis chapter 5, and read that God says, and Adam created, have children in his own image, Adam's image. Okay. In John chapter 1 verse 4, John testified this, that in him Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. So when the life went out of Adam, his light gone also. So that's why he was in darkness. He was dead. When the life went out, he became dead. Life gone, he became dead. Light went, he was in darkness. And so we are in darkness until we turn to the Lord. Exodus. Let's look at the book of life. And this is won't take long. We're closing now. In Exodus, what do we find in Exodus that God called Moses, invite Moses to be on top of the mountain. 40 days and 40 nights Moses on the mountain, waiting to get the word of God. I wonder why day one God didn't give Moses the word. Moses sit there waiting and don't eat, fasting before the Lord, up there waiting on the word of God. At the end of that 40-day period, God appeared and with his hand wrote what we know as the Ten Commandments. The other things that we hear from God, God dictated to Moses and Moses write it down. But the Ten Commandments is written by God, written by the finger of God. And so it's written in stone, means it cannot change. We might not understand the fullness of it, but it's written in stone. And Moses came down with the stone. And here in Exodus 32, God speaking, verse 8. Then God says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I command them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worship it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. You can underline that in your Bible. That's the definition for idolatry. That's the definition for idolatry. The definition for eternal life is found in John chapter 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, that you may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom we have sent. So Jesus Christ, God, and God, both you have to know. So people who say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't know God. People who say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in God the Father, they don't know God. Eternal life is the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father do exist. And this is the definition for idol worship. When you ascribe to an object that which God performed, that which God belongs to the Lord, is called idolatry. That's what it says. This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Who delivered them out of Egypt? God. And so that's what happened. So first of all, there's a book. And it's called the Book of Life. God is the only person who can remove your name from the Book of Life. Exodus 32, verse 30 says, after Moses came down and all of this thing happened, he went back to God, and now he's going to speak on behalf of the people. He says, now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made of themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, great. But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever have sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now therefore, go, lead the people to where I want you to go. God says, my book? I'm in control. You don't tell me what I do with my book. I am the one who blocked people out, those who sin against me. So we know it's sin that gets you out of the book. That's the first point. Second point, the Book of Life is for those who are eternally righteous. And we find that from Psalm 69. Psalm 69 is a messianic son. Verse 25. Let their dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in their tent. For they persecute the one you have struck, and talk of grief of those you have wounded. Who did God smite on the cross? The Lord Jesus Christ. Here, verse 27. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come in your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. And the word is the book of life. And not be written with the righteous. Not be written with the righteous. So now we realize that all names are in the book. All names are in the book. And Jesus is saying there will come a time when the wicked, the unrighteous name are not in the book. Only the righteous. Third point. God is the creator of all things, and even your body parts are written in the book. Do you realize that? Even your body parts. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance before yet formed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when yet there are none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there should be more number than the sand, which when I awake, I am still with you. Your parts. Don't think that because you lose a leg here and you're Christian on earth, when you go to heaven, you will be one leg less. No, it's in the book. Don't think that because my eyes was good, but now something happened and I have to wear glasses and all these things. When I go to heaven, I will ask God, oh, could it increase my prescription? I can't see well. No, all your parts are there in the book, and you get them. Whether you lose them on earth, yes or no, it doesn't matter. You could burn them, crush them, whatever it is. As a believer, in the resurrection, you'll be perfect. You'll be perfect. And that's what that says. Fourth, whether you're lost or saved, the name remained during the time of your first birth. Your first birth. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 20. Then the 70 returned. Jesus sent them out to preach. They come back. They return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wonderful. Lot of doings. Great stuff. Verse 20 now. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Born again believers. Born again people. Their names are written down in heaven permanently. When you become born again, that's what makes your name permanent. Because you're born what? A second time. Your name is written down. It is permanent. By the way, this is a warning to many people who, because they do something And there's a result. They think that they're working for God. God will work with you, beside you, apart from you. Remember that. Remember Jesus' message as he gave the Sermon on the Mount? How does it close it in Matthew chapter 7? Many that they will say, Lord, didn't we have preach in your name? We cast out demons in your name. And he says, I never knew you. Not because God work around you or work through you or work with you. That don't guarantee it. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the only requirement to be born again. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So works is not a part of it. The fifth thing is this. The final time we see this book, the of life, it appears not as the book of life, but the Lamb book of life. So it seems to be at the end of time, when the white throne judgment is over, God is going to give that book with everybody's name who is in the book to Jesus, and it become his book. Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne judgment and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, plural, and another book, single, was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in, and listen again, books. The sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and Hades deliver up the dead which were in them, and they were judged each according to his works. And death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If your name is not in the book, you're going to hell. How you get your name in the book? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The book will always go to the rightful owner. Revelation 21 verses 2. I saw no temple in that place. That's the new heaven, new earth. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in its temple. The city had no need for the sun and moon to shine in it. Notice how it's written here. I went through the Greek and see it. It did not say there's no sun and moon. All it says is that you don't need any sun and moonlight. Because the emphasis here is the glory of God. The city of glory. Look at this now. Continue reading. For the glory of God illumines it. Can you imagine the glory of God is better than the sun and moon? When the Apostle Paul saw Jesus, he said that the light was brighter than the noonday sun.